Well, the title of the sermon today is God Has a Plan for Every Day of Our Life. You know, we may think sometimes, well, you know, God is far off someplace. No, he's not. And you'll see here. And to tailgate on talking about young people, like what was in the sermonette there, while we are young, you know, when you're young, you look at older people and you think, well, wow, life is really, really a long time, without really realizing that life is just really a flash, just like a vapor. So quick. But for a little kid looking at an older person, you would think, wow, that is a long time to live. And just think of all the things I'm going to have to do and this and that and the other. Your mind starts really really going as a young child. And this life has many tests and trials along the way as God is teaching and testing us and preparing us to do things for his will. Each day, he has things planned out for us, if we take advantage of them, of course. And this is all for his purpose right now. There are things right now that he wants us to be doing, and we will see as the sermon goes along here some examples of that. And all during our life, he is preparing us to be transformed into his spirit family, and in the process, we are being led by his son, Jesus the Christ, in the process to overcome our sins and our human nature. You know, our human nature is really something that's base. And God has called us out, as was brought out in the sermon out there, God has called us out to teach us to overcome this horrible thing called human nature, which is really a hard thing to do every day. But we can do it only with God's Holy Spirit working with us. So he does this so that he can present us to God the Father, clean and pure, to join him in his kingdom. And we hope it's not too much further down the road in our way of counting time, but of course God's in charge of that. I remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, there was a really old couple in a little church that I was attending at 7 and 8 years old. It's how I attended this church. There was a church bus that would come through our neighborhood. And this guy would honk the horn and had the name of the church on the side of the bus. And the neighbor kids were getting on the bus. So I asked my mom, is it okay if I get on there and go too? She said, sure. Went there, and yes, it was fun. Had a lot of fun things to do. But one day, this old man who was 101 years old, his wife was just a mere 98 years old, and they lived in a little farm, just outside of Harrison, Ohio. It's a little area called Okeana, and we have some members in the Cincinnati East Church that live there right now. Just a little wide place in the road there. But that's where they had this little farm. And one day, they wanted to host a luncheon for all of the young kids that was riding on that church bus, which I was one. And so the bus took us on out there to the farm, and they served us a great lunch. It was actually a great dinner of fried chicken, mashed potatoes with a big chunk of butter in the middle. Remember that. You had this big chunk of butter right in the middle of the dish or the bowl of this of mashed potatoes, and all sorts of vegetables and cornbread and salad and something called, that I've never heard before, schmear cheese. And I asked the lady of the house there, I said, well, what is schmear cheese? And it's what it looked like. It looked like little small curds of cottage cheese that she, you know, at 98 years old, had churned that morning. I mean, it was fantastic as I remember looking around their house. They had this cast iron stove that had an oven in it. That thing must have weighed as much as a dump truck, probably. just a really old old stove that they would put wood into it, and that's how they would cook and bake things. And that's where she had made the dinner, and she had a churn there that she would make her own butter and churn schmear cheese as well. And so I was really fascinated with what she did there, too. And she had a spinning wheel. She says, I bet you haven't seen a spinning wheel before. No, I hadn't. And neither did the other kids. And she showed us how she could make the yarn, you know, just, you know, wind it up on this little spindle thing. That was really, really some fascinating things. And then after we finished eating, you know, she and her husband wanted to tell us some things about their past life that they were going through all those years. I forget how many years she said that they were married, but, you know, at 101 and 98, it had to be a long time. But they had a lot of ups and downs, they said, in hard times during the Great Depression. And how they stayed close to God to bring them through that Great Depression when nobody had any money or could hardly have food, they were glad that they lived on this little farm and they had canned everything that they could grow. And so she was talking about that you could survive. You could make it, but you got to stay close to God and ask for his blessings that she told over and over. He didn't talk a whole lot, but she did. She carried the ball as far as explaining everything. And how God had kept them throughout this whole thing of the Great Depression. And God blessed them with all they needed, and he kept them happy and filled with peace. While there were other families in the neighborhood that were having a really hard time and was really struggling. And they gave us a lot of advice about how important it was to be obedient to God. That God will bless you if you are obedient to him, the way she put it. And that was wonderful advice that she gave us. To obey God to receive his blessings. Excuse me. In the Old Testament, we read about the time when people would live several hundred years old. I mean, you talk about, as a little child looking at somebody that was, like 100 years old, it was, that was a long, long time. But just think about it. You know, there was times when people lived to be very, very old, hundreds of years old, like Noah and Methuselah, living over 900 years. And when you have a thought of what it would be like to live that long, you know, it's just almost impossible, you know, to comprehend it. Well, God is preparing me and you to live a long, long time called forever. And he makes us wonder what it will be like during that time. What will we be doing? Well, we don't know all the things that we will be doing, but it's going to be fantastic. Take a look at God's creation out into outer space even, and all that's going on there, and how he didn't produce it with a big bang. He produced it by just speaking it. God has that power to just speak and things are created. Well, God had a purpose. Had a purpose and has a purpose for every day of their long lives back then, this older couple. And you may not always think about it, but God has a purpose every day for me and you too. There is a purpose. And we need to, when we wake up in the mornings, is to pray to God and thank him for another day of life. And also ask him, please lead me through this day. I know that you have things that you want us to do and to help other people with, or whatever you plan, dear God, but please lead us and direct us. So it really doesn't matter how long we live in this physical life, but it does really matter that we live each day for doing the will of our Heavenly Father. We all need to review all the time what God's will is and what we are responsible to do. And of course we do God's will by being obedient to him with his commandments and his way of life and his character that was talked about. We are to learn the character of God to be able to think and to make habits in our mind that we would know how to choose on a second notice of which way to decide to be obedient to God. And Satan, of course, is wanting us to fail and be obedient to him. But through God's Holy Spirit, God can help us get through all that. And with that, we can rest assured that he will not let us die before his perfect plan for us has been completed. You know, there's a whole lot of people that worry about, you know, when am I going to die? We don't need to be thinking about when we're going to die. We need to be thinking about how am I going to live the next minute? And look at it from that vantage point instead of saying, well, you know, am I going to die in the next minute? No. We need to be thinking more on the positive side of what are we going to be doing for God and letting him lead us. And he'll take care of the time when he wants us to go back to sleep. We are being shaped and molded into the person that we must be for him. And he's calling many sons and daughters right now. People say, well, you know, why doesn't he just go ahead and send Jesus back right now and let's get this thing over with? Well, that's not our prerogative. That is God's prerogative. He is still calling sons and daughters, and we are to be there to help them and to lead and direct them in the paths that God wants them to be. if you want to, you can turn to Psalms chapter 139. And we will read verses 1 through 6. Psalms 139, 1 through 6, or just make a note of it there. Where David is reflecting on God's perfect knowledge. And David said, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But, O Lord, you know it. You know it altogether. You have hedged me and protected me behind and before. And laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. David was speaking there about the wonders of God. We are never alone. God is with us, those of us especially that he has called out. He is guiding and leading us, and we have to let him do that. In Psalms 139, verse 16, just that one scripture there, David said, my eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book, speaking to God as he was doing there, in your book, they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Our Heavenly Father planned for our existence long before we were born, and we are very precious to him, and he has planned our future forever and ever. And now, to tie in about how God uses every day of our lives, I want to use an example of the life of Joseph. Joseph, to show how our Heavenly Father used the life of Joseph in many different ways to bring about God's purpose in our lives, that we are living right now today. Joseph's family, but also countless many millions of people, including us, we are told these words. They have been put into the canon for us to read about and to learn from. And this will be countless millions of people that have read the words in the life of Joseph. Joseph's father, Jacob, had many sons. In fact, he had 12 sons. And just imagine if in your personal family you had many brothers all living at home, so close together. You know, you can just think about it. No doubt there would be many disagreements and arguments that would happen with that many all living in a small place. And especially men, boys, that would like to elbow each other, and they certainly did. And they had all that going on with them and within their family. Pat and I have an example as well, too. When our kids were 6 and 8 years old, every time that we would be driving the car, from the back seat we would hear one of them squeal, saying that he's on my side of the car. He's got my stuff. You know, he's pulling my hair. And that kept happening. And so I had to say, you know, don't make me stop this car. Well, that didn't work either. They knew that I wasn't going to stop the car. Didn't want to stop the car. But anyway, I did voice it quite often. But that didn't help. That didn't work. So we bought a real nice van from the church one year that had three back seats. We thought, hey, this is the answer. Separate seats. And we thought that this would solve the problem. But did it? No. Didn't at all. Disagreements happen in every family. Now let's get back to Joseph a little bit here. At the age of 17, Joseph, the second youngest of the brothers, helped looking after his father's flocks. And his brothers disliked him and were jealous of him because he was their father's favorite. And what made things worse, Joseph had two very vivid dreams that maybe he should have kept to himself for a while, but he didn't. He talked about them to his family, and it seemed to show how his family would be bowing down to him. And you can imagine what his brothers were thinking and thought. His brothers thought, well, you know, who does he think he is that we are going to bow down to him? We're not going to bow down to him. You know, they were really rubbed the wrong way by hearing these dreams. And then one day, their father sent Joseph to go out and check on his brothers who were herding the flocks far away. And eventually, it took him a while to do it, but eventually Joseph tracked them down near the place called Dothan. And I'm not talking about Dothan, Alabama. Maybe that's where Dothan, Alabama got its name. I don't know. But this place was Dothan, where he tracked them down. And Joseph's brothers saw him coming in the distance. And they said amongst themselves, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Yes, we will just say that a wild animal got hold of him, and then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. You know, they had bad thoughts about their brother there. So they threw Joseph into this deep water pit that had dried up. And Reuben, the oldest of the brothers, who also stopped the other brothers from killing him, you know, said, hey, you know, that's going a little bit too far. You can throw him in the pit maybe, but what Reuben had planned to do was to come back later and to get him out of the pit and then take him on home, back home where he belonged. And now in the story, we can see how God's hand and his plan in this whole matter came about. When just as the brothers were about to sit down to eat, a group of travelers came by, and they were riding on camels. And the camels were loaded down with spices and different things, and they were on their way to Egypt. And that's where God wanted Joseph actually to be. It was part of God's plan to get him transported to Egypt. And God was providing the transportation. I mean, this sounds like a far out thing to do, but God had the plan and had those travelers to come by where they could offer Joseph to be a slave. And suddenly his brother Judah had an idea. Let's not kill Joseph, but let's sell him as a slave to those travelers. And that's exactly what they did. And when the brothers got back home, they told a horrible lie to their father, that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. And this was a heartbreaking news, of course, to their father Jacob. Can you imagine getting that news that your favorite son was killed by an animal? I mean, heartbroken. That's horrible news for any parent to hear. The traders took Joseph on to Egypt, and they sold him to a man named Potiphar, who was in charge of the king's palace guard there. And Joseph worked in Potiphar's home and worked hard, and he did all the chores faithfully. And soon after, Potiphar noticed that Joseph had a really good attitude about how to get along with other people, other prisoners there. And he saw that the Lord was with him, that he was a righteous man. So he put Joseph in charge of the other servants there and gave him all of the important tasks that he was to be in charge of. And then trouble came. Trouble came. Just like in our lives, things can happen. Well, this was some serious trouble here. When Potiphar's wife saw how handsome Joseph was, she seduced him, but Joseph refused because he knew that would be wrong. And that brought on more trouble for Joseph because Potiphar's wife made up a lying story because she was mad at Joseph for rejecting her. And her husband believed her and threw Joseph into prison. But even while Joseph was in prison, God was with him. And soon he was put in charge of the other prisoners. No doubt Joseph had some management skills where he could get along with people and treat them correctly. And that was a benefit for him. Joseph's life had many ups and downs, just like I was talking about the old couple. They talked about the ups and downs that they had in their life during the Great Depression. Well, this was Joseph's ups and downs in his life. Just as we do, we will have ups and downs all the time. We are no different right now. God had a special plan for the life of Joseph, just as he has a plan for me and you. Every day, he has things that we can take advantage of, but we need to pray and ask for God's guidance and direction each morning as we wake and have our wits about us to be able to pray correctly. Joseph may not have, you know, the news headlines, or had the news headlines, yet because of his faithfulness, God used him to save many people. We have learned that the Lord is pleased with all of the good and happy things of our lives, and he takes notice and cares about the bad things as well that happen to us, mainly through our choices. God may allow us sometimes to go into have some bad things to happen to us as a test, but mainly from our own choices of not choosing correctly, not choosing rightly according to God's will and God's laws. And God does take notice of that. And we can trust that God will see us through if we depend on him. We can't depend on ourselves to see ourselves through. It won't work. God will see us through if we depend on him and call on him. With each new day, we cannot know for sure how things will turn out for us and what big changes may come and whether we will have a good day or not. But God knows, and he is using all things to shape us into his character. We are being molded and shaped every day. Are we going to resist that molding and shaping? Or are we going to let God bend us and put us in the right shape that we need to be in our character? On the day that Joseph was sent out to find his brothers, you know, he was sent out to go far off while they were herding the crops, or I mean the flocks somewhere out there. And on that day that he was sent off to do that, he had no idea that he would never, never return home. And he ended up as a slave in Egypt. And then one morning, while working in Potiphar's house and minding his own business, how could he know that he would be in prison by sunset? I mean, that was a shocking trial for him as well, too. And during the years that he spent in a gloomy prison, years in prison, it wasn't just a week or two, years in prison, how could he have imagined that within a single day that he had been in charge, or that he would be in charge of all of Egypt? I mean, what a drastic change that would be. You know, spending years in prison, and then how would he know that on a single day that he would be in charge of all Egypt? And, you know, all done by the power and the miracles of God, shaping and molding Joseph and giving us a lesson today on how important it is that God has things planned for us every day. There are miracles every day. I hear people talk and say, well, you know, God used to do miracles. Yes, he does, every second. Yet, our next breath is a miracle. Well, at this point, I want to quickly remind you of a story that has been on many of the Nashville TV news channels about a sad story from Hendersonville, Tennessee, where Pat and I live. And that is a story of the disappearance of a young 14-year-old boy named Sebastian Rogers. He was last seen at his home the night of February the 26th, 2024, last February. He was last seen wearing a black sweatshirt, black sweatpants, and no shoes on a cold night. He evidently answered the door and evidently was kidnapped the way they seem it happened, maybe. We don't know. This is a true story that reminds us of Joseph, in fact, that Joseph did not have any idea that he would never return home again. There are many people all across the country right now today that are praying for Sebastian, that he will return home alive some way, somehow, if it is God's will. If you will, personally yourself, please pray for this boy and his family from Hendersonville. Not knowing where he is has to be torture for his family. Not knowing something is horrible. The police and the FBI right now are on the job, and they are searching for him. So please pray. The changes that we see in mine and your life may not be as dramatic as Joseph's life, but they are just as important to God, because God, our Heavenly Father, is testing and trying us. He is shaping and molding us. He is taking care of us. Carefully working through everything that happens to me and you is very, very important to God, because they are through the miracles that God performs for us every day. And we are his little children. You know, we think of people getting older. And then you can think of God that has been forever and ever. And he is planning to help us to be that way as well, too, to be changed to a spirit being, to live in his family. And he will perform these miracles every day until the picture of our lives is complete. He is painting a picture of us, our lives, right now. So we can ask, how are things going to be for me and you at this very moment? Have you done any thinking? Well, you know, should I choose this or should I choose that? We have to do choices every day, constantly. But we got to remember, we got to do it rightly. We have to choose rightly every second. How are we treating each other? Is your life bright and trouble-free? Or do you feel like Joseph when his brothers, his own family members, threw him into a dark pit? We are called to be one family here in God's church. And Satan is always trying to divide us. from our church family and God. And if any of us are having any problem of any kind with our brothers and sisters, we had better get it reconciled, because God is watching. He is listening. He is taking note of it, so to speak, because God is watching our every action, and he hears our every word, and he knows all of our thoughts. God wants all of us to have a forgiving heart for each other and to love one another. And he wants us to be at peace with one another. You know, the church of God is like a cocoon. It is a place of safety that God holds all of us accountable to keep and to take care of. And our local church as well, we are that one family that he has called us to be together as a place of safety and to treat each other without partiality in God's church and in his family. Joseph ended up having that forgiveness. As you read in your Bible about Joseph, you know, in the end there, he forgave all of his brothers, forgave all of them for what they had done to him before. And it all became a blessing to them as well. And they lived in peace and obedience with God. And knowing that, we are all created by God, and we belong to him. We don't have the right to choose wrongly. We don't belong to ourselves. And he wants us to choose correctly, to be living in his family. If we want to live forever in his family, we have to do it his way. We have to have love in our hearts for each other, and that's in forgiveness. That's his way. And in closing, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, God does not cause bad things to happen to us, but he can and does use bad situations for our good. Just always remember, God has a plan for each and every one of us, each and every day.